Good evening and welcome to Slam the Gavel, the show that tells it all regarding family court, other court issues, as well as CPS. I am your host, Marianne Petrie. This episode of Slam the Gavel is sponsored by CPS Protect Consulting Services. Child Protective Services cases are among the most frightening experiences any parent can endure. Don't face them alone. With urgent assist by CPS Protect, you get the peace of mind to raise your children as you see fit. And the personalized assistance of their team of expert child welfare consultants, former CPS investigators themselves, right when you need it. Get started absolutely free at cpsprotect.com/register, and that is available in all 50 states. One last announcement, go to the site, pleasedoyourjob.com. We need 2,000 more signatures to get a case reopened. Pleasedoyourjob.com. And I've got guests on. I have Gina from Utah. I have Kelly Patton back on. She's been on season 4, episode 124, 146, and 151. She was also featured in my last book, Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. I also have lobbyist B. Marnay on, and I have James here from Arkansas. And we're going to discuss a couple of things, especially how federal incentives are keeping the money flowing and the cases drawn out and what can be done about it. So I'm going to welcome B. Marnay, lobbyist, on to speak and tell us what she thinks of all of that.
Yes. Hi, Marianne. Thank you for having me again. And thanks, Gina, for inviting me. So you're definitely right. This is federal funding that is driving this exploitation of families, whether it's child support, Title 4D, whether it's foster care placement, Title 4E, we are definitely seeing the incentivizing of children and families, and there is no remedy right now. Sure, there's a little pushback and a little changes here and there, but nothing that can stop the egregious, exploitation and the harm it is doing to children. And these are vulnerable children that are definitely not in protective parent care. They're in another living arrangement, which is the exploitative person. And therefore, these children are being told that either their parents gave them away, their parents don't want them, their parents won't comply, their parents won't stay off the drugs, their parents are mentally ill, whatever they need to say to make the child feel abandoned, hateful towards the parent, to move on, to never look back, to act like it's my parents' fault, not my fault, or the person and the government's fault. And that's not right, because there are a lot of families like Gina and I who actually have children who are part of this exploitation, why we're here today. I feel that I was retaliated on, and my child and Gina's child are both stuck being told daily, mine for 3 years. Mine was, we were trafficked, let's recap, from Alabama to Virginia illegally. He was hidden in California so they can do what they needed to do. This is all criminal activity. And there is not one person that will stop it. Because when you talk to him, mom's got problems. Mom was abusive. Well, what's abusive, Tate? Do your homework or you're not going to go out. You know, he doesn't understand that there is a world out there of in and out of prison. 80% of these foster children will be in and out of prison. The medication that he is being given, which is heavily drugged daily, things that he doesn't need are ruining his mental ability to think properly. He doesn't understand that 70% of missing children came from foster care, that the majority of child sex trafficking comes from foster care, that this is the most danger a child will face in America. And Gina and I have to sit there, you know, at the edge of our seat every day, wondering if we're going to get that phone call that our child's dead. Now, I know my child's well protected right now because I'm doing active things like this. I'm in Congress. Kelly will tell you we're there often to explain this situation to them. But that doesn't mean that everything will be fixed or my child will come back home. That just means that he will not be maybe child sex trafficked through these rings that are closely linked to foster care. Biological parents cannot find their children, but for some reason, sex traffickers can find these children. And my child is with people who one of the men, I forgot his name. I can't think of Jill Abbott employs this man who is a cognitive scientist. Now, my child is showing that he is definitely not understanding what child abuse means, what is a good mom, because even the judge said, wow, this is a good mom. And the fact that I'm not going to stop until my child is safe. Now, I'm scared that somehow he will be accidentally neglected in some way. He could die, or he will be told to go into the military and somehow die there, because they never want us to reopen the case. And the case can open when he's 18. And this could be actually later on, we can actually pinpoint all the criminal activity. Right now, while they're in the midst of it, there's a lot of covering up. But later on, there will be new players, and there might be a U.S. attorney or an FBI agent who want to stop this human trafficking of children within our government agencies. So I'm not sure what to do, but that is, again, my concern. And I just wanted to voice it. I'm sure Gina's as well. And all the other parents going through this, we fear our children will be somehow shushed by neglectful acts of accidental deaths, or you know, there's no telling what these people are capable of.
That's absolutely true. Gina, what do you want to say to that? Because your case is very similar to B's.
Yes, yes. Our cases, when I was put in touch with B through Kelly, it's shocking how similar our cases are. We have the same career path. We are highly educated, working professionals with no drug or alcohol history. I'm a professional athlete. B's a professional athlete. And so my son's autistic, her son's autistic. Our cases almost mirror each other exactly. Yeah. And it's very odd that she can live on the complete other side of the country and have the same exact scenario as me. And then through talking through parents all over the country, in every state of the United States, it's exactly the same pattern. You can just cut and paste your name and put it in somebody else's name. It's the exact same. And so right now I have a federal lawsuit in Utah against Judges Elizabeth Knight, Diana Obrey, Patricia Hartswell, and Deborah Wood. And I have a $21 million federal lawsuit against them for fraud, because they fraudulently said that my son was thriving in his environment and doing well. My son has a genetic disorder, familial hypercholesterolemia. He can't process cholesterol. Mm. So therefore, he's not supposed to be on any type of fats. So he has to be on the Mediterranean diet. The court ruled that I was too rigid of a parent, implementing the doctor, implemented diet and exercise program, that it was abusive to my son because it made him feel bad. And they did not terminate my parental rights. However, they gave my son to the 83-year-old grandmother and 90-year-old grandfather. The grandfather died of terminal cancer 12 weeks after they gave him custody, which was known at the time of trial, which was hidden. And then going through the fraudulent papers, when I went through all of my case files and I did my timeline, Kelly helped me with that. 8 times in my paperwork, the DCFS caseworkers wrote, Gina does not want to have a relationship with her child. She does not want to have anything to do with her son. 8 times. So when they give those papers to the judge and the judge reads that, the judge is saying, well, you don't want to see your kid. You don't want to see your kid. And so then they gave my kid to the grandparents. My son is 15 years old. He has a 6th grade education, and he's currently failing high school, his freshman year of high school. And DCFS thinks that's totally fine. The grandmother thinks that's fine. The school district thinks that's fine. And no one will intervene to help me. If there's any civil rights attorneys on this who watch this show, I'm proceeding with my lawsuit. It's, you know, it hasn't been knocked out of court yet. So I appreciate any help I could get. There's an attorney out there who wants to look at my case and give me pointers, but I'm proceeding with a fraud. It's a Rule 60B, and it's fraud upon the court. There's also a due process violation in where my attorney in court stated I'm not given all the information that I need to represent my attorney. And the judge says, well, I think you are, according to Deborah Wood. She's an officer court. She said she gave you all the information, so too bad. We're going to proceed. And it's a due process and constitutional rights violation, which happens over and over and over in these cases. Right. The minute DCFS shows up on your door, you're a victim. You are a victim and your constitutional rights are being violated.
Absolutely.
And you are guilty until proven innocent. Mm-hmm. Now, are you paying child support?
I am not. My rights were not terminated. However, they did everything they could to almost terminate my rights. The only parental benefit that I get is I get one 15-minute Zoom call per month with my son, and it has to be supervised until he's over the age of 18. My son's never had a broken bone, never had a bruise, never been neglected. He was on ski school, equestrian horseback riding. My son never has had any problems. He was 3.2 grade point average before DCFS took him. Now he's failing high school. Well, I mean, how can he do well in high school when he has a sixth grade education? So they've just compounded the problem, and then they turn it around and being like, well, he's autistic, or oh, his mom abused him, so he has PTSD, so he no longer can thrive in life. And that's kind of their attitude they've done.
Right. They'll make an excuse. Either if they're thriving, look how great we've done. If they're not thriving, look what you did. Yeah. And in actuality, when you read the reason this agency was even formed is they have to take families in crisis and help them and assist them to make them thrive. But they're taking thriving families and doing the opposite, creating crisis. So we look like we're not thriving. So when they say, do these goals and you do them fast and you do them good, so your child won't be traumatized, they move that goalpost. And then they say you didn't comply. So regardless, whatever move you make right, they'll make the opposite move to make you look bad. So if you go right or left, it doesn't matter. They have a plan either way you go.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And Mr. James, you have, issues as well. You had been imputed a figure that you probably never made in order for them to get more Title IV-D funding out of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. My 2015 to 2021 taxes will never show that I made $137,000 a year, but somehow the judge imputed that income on me. Because they proved it in court is what he said on the court record. But in my case is, similar to Gina, what they do is you spend all this money fighting and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on lawyers. And when you come to find out, the lawyer's actual first duty is to the courts and not the client. So they are already just basically a spy for the courts. And what they do is, during the court sessions, they pressure you to take deals. They say, oh, we'll give you your 50-50 custody back, or we'll do this, or we'll do that, as long as you go to counseling and you get the help, you get some help. And that's what they'll do. They'll trick you. And then what they'll do is, like everybody keeps saying, they keep moving the goalpost on you and making it further and further away so you can never accomplish the goal to get your children back or help you. Meanwhile, they have all these other parents who are actually, not around for their children on drugs. They send in them to places like counseling associates, get them help, and then put those parents back in the children's lives. And then just so they can keep removing them from those parents. It's a never ending process, and it's crazy.
And Kelly, there's no recourse for Mr. James or Gina. What do you, people file lawsuits, and if you like my lawsuit, my federal case, I kept it alive for like a year, and then it went to appeals, and then it stayed alive for about maybe 4 months, but it was dismissed and no one looked at any of the evidence. Right, Kelly? I mean.
Yeah. We had that federal lawsuit. I think we had it alive for about a year and 9 months. Mm-hmm. I think it was September of 23 that it was finally dismissed by the federal judge in North Carolina. Many, many violations. two parents had filed ADA accommodations to maybe have more time to respond to motions. Those both were denied. There was also, when I filed my the complaint for the families with the Department of Justice, I claimed there was no due process. We were never allowed a discovery, so we were dismissed before anything was ever heard. Now, I don't know, I kind of got a suspicion as I was watching these motions and their responses. So I had one particular case here in Kansas that I absolutely, through St. Francis Ministries, I wanted her evidence in. You know, you got to hold your cards. You know, sometimes you got to let some go and sometimes you got to hold your cards. This one was so obvious that this mama's hair follicle tests were fake. These hair follicle tests were fake because she was pregnant with another child doing urine tests the whole entire time while these hair follicle tests were positive through St. Francis Ministries and Kelly Compliance in Wichita, Kansas. The mother was also doing urinalysis through her entire pregnancy, which was negative. And she was on a drug for, she had a chronic illness. So she was taking opiates. So the hair follicle testing through St. Francis Ministries did not show opioids, but showed methamphetamine. The urine tests were showing opioids, which was true. I was following the mama, so this was a fact, but no methamphetamines. These tests are clearly fake. I just started dumping her evidence. That's my big goal. You know, I want to see so much reform. And so I really like to see this dismantled, so much reform, but this hair follicle testing is not a clear science. Okay. It's been documented over and over in scholarly articles that hair follicle testing is not a reliable method, and they are still using hair follicle testing alone after the parents have done all their education, all their classes, all their 501c3 bull crap that they put these people through to all just funnel money around. And we all know it's true. And they come out clean on the end, and they're still holding that hair follicle test against that mama with them seven babies and took every single one of them away.
Well, that's because they're a commodity that's worth selling. They wanted that commodity. They wanted to sell it. And they did whatever they had to do to take her kids from her.
Seven
and
babies.
There's a, right. Actually, there's a Utah representative, Christine Watkins, and she made a state law in Utah that they cannot use hair follicle testing because it's not fair to parents. You can still test positive for drugs months after you've quit drug usage. And so they were using it in Utah as a way to take away children from parents. So there was a representative, and she did the right thing and got it. You cannot use that in Utah anymore. So, I mean, people need to contact their state legislators. Maybe they won't listen the first time, but if we could get enough people to say, hey, let's get these hair follicle testing banned, this is not reliable, maybe it could happen.
Yeah, I contacted our legislation, because if this federal lawsuit was not going to expose this, I was going to make sure that my state knew. I contacted Susan Concannon on the child welfare board. Okay. Mm-hmm. They should be knowing these things. She tells me, well, I didn't know we were still using hair follicle testing. I thought we had gotten rid of that practice.
See, they'd never know what's going on.
They don't even know what's going on. They don't even know.
And our children are supposed to be safe in hands. So I, you know, about that federal lawsuit, Judge Flanagan was given ample information in the filings that there was actually egregious behavior, a conspiracy to remove children in custody issues wrongfully. And she sat there and dismissed the case over petty stuff, such as you have certain days to sign your name, ink, blue ink only. We're not taking electronic. And when you miss the deadline, you're dismissed. There's no leniency for pro se, which is the law, by the way. Mm-hmm. Pro se should have leniency, especially when your child is being trafficked. But instead of using the human trafficking word for all our issues where our children are being the very definition of human trafficking is when you're coerced, when you're intimidated, when you're tricked into something. Now tell me, taking a woman from a child, and you bring a woman to court for male and say no contest or you'll never see your child again. Mm-hmm. When you say no contest and don't know what it means, and that is the very reason for removal, no evidence of anything else. That is human trafficking because I was intimidated. Of course, they had already taken my child and I had to leave the ER in the midst of my full-blown COVID. So I was not thinking correctly and I'm being yelled at by people who overpowered me. All I wanted was to say, whatever you want from me, whatever, fine, just give me my child. I never thought that would mean never seeing your child again. Now, this is the exact definition of human trafficking, but they're using all the resources to go after prostitution rings. Women who are actually taking money for this activity are being given all the resources, homes, you know, just all kinds of benefit when they actually are doing what they want to do with, you know, they give their pimp some money, they take some money, and they're actually doing this, you know, consult, you know, they're giving their permission for this. Mm-hmm. And here, I didn't give my permission for you to steal my child, drag me into Virginia. I had to sell my houses in Alabama, put hundreds of thousands of dollars, lawyers, goalposts, you know, have to pay child support to Virginia. It is absolutely just overwhelming.
What do you think of Mr. James' case? Because he's been imputed a figure and he's also paying alimony. And for how long, James, are you forced to pay or get extorted the alimony as well as the child support?
Yeah. So my ex-wife has a college associate's degree that she got during our marriage, and she also got an esthetician license. And she's making well above what she told the court. She told the court she was only making $1,500 a month, which was a lot, because she has the college associate's degree, so she could go make more. But the judge imputed alimony for 3 years at $2,500 a month, which is $90,000, $30,000 a year, plus the $1,500 a month child support. So they wanted me to pay $45,000 a year between child support and alimony. And I couldn't pay that. I have no choice. There's no way I can pay that. I don't know who can unless I was rich and famous.
Oh my gosh.
And they're not just doing it. You know, the CPS is not the only people doing it. It's in every family court across from coast to coast. If there's money and there's one, if you mess up one time and you do one thing wrong, they will take the children immediately, find whatever way that they can, and give it to custody to the other parent so that they can make the non-custodial parent pay child support. Because the state benefits off of the child support. When they collect child support from the non-custodial parent, at the end of the year, the federal government writes them a check for 60 cents on the dollar. And it's crazy.
Right. It's $1 billion a year business and the taxpayers don't even know it.
No.
Yeah. It's sad. Yeah, definitely. They were supposed to, our legislators were supposed to develop a court of non-record for name changes, divorces, and the sale of elderly and minor estates. Somehow it evolved into this exploitation, $1 trillion profit industry. And I don't know why, if we made it so easily, why we can't dissolve it and restart, because this is not in the best interest of any child.
No.
And what they do during, go ahead, Gina.
Oh, no, go ahead, James.
What they do inside of the courtrooms is similar to what the CPS do. Hey, sign this, take this deal. But inside of the courtrooms, they did the same thing to me. They say, hey, if you don't take this deal and you don't agree to this amount of money and you don't agree to do this and you don't agree to do that, then we're going to walk you out of here into jail for contempt of court. It's coercion. You do it under duress because you risk going to jail that day. Right. And that, because the courts, the judge doesn't want to decide, because they're administrative courts. They do not even have judicial power. The administrative courts don't. So what's crazy is they'll try to convince you to take the deal and get you on record taking the deal. So the judge will say, I never ordered that. That's the deal that you took. You agreed to that deal.
Yeah, absolutely. No accountability at all.
Right. What
absolutely.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do when they hide this activity this is a closed court to protect the minor. So they're doing everything in hidden walls.
Exactly. The circuit court judges are under contract with OCSE and are working for the Central Registry for the Hague Convention, which is an international tribunal that operates under international law. So they're incentivized and they're working together with the Arkansas Office of Child Support and CPS as a cult or a group.
See, a lot of people don't know that. Recently, there was a lawsuit that was won for $21 million. And we were talking about that earlier, James. Do you want to embellish on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's Kenny Kemp is his name in Colorado, married a woman, and this woman's ex-husband accused him of sexual allegations. Numerous, at least 40 plus sexual allegations to his children. And so they lost custody of the children. And eventually Kenny Kemp hired an international parental alienation attorney. He's out of Michigan. I forgot what his name is off the top of my head,
is it Ashish Joshi?
Yes, it is. Okay. And so he worked with one of the attorneys in Colorado, and they worked closely together, and they won on a jury. A jury decided that the allegations were false, and they awarded Kenny Kemp and his wife $21.2 million. And the sad part about it is they spent every single penny that they own fighting this case, and they haven't even gotten the money yet, and they're still having to fight to see their children.
Right. After winning that, the court should have done the right thing. Okay. Should have done the right thing and given them their children back. You know, it's amazing that you could win a lawsuit and still come out with no money.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's so hard to find lawyers. It's so hard to fight them. And then when you win, you absolutely just sit there with nothing to show for it. Yet immediately your children are without court orders, without any authority, taken just off into the sunset, and you never see them again.
And their guardian ad litem, which is their counsel, literally sit there and agree with everything, and they say no objection, no objection, right. No objection, mm-hmm. And they don't even know the kids, never had a conversation with the children, don't know right. These children like mine, at never, all. And that's their right. counsel. That's their protection right there, saying no objection to everything.
So B.
It's so cruel to children. This is just the cruelest thing to children. I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I took good care of my child. I dressed him well. I made sure that he had all the benefits that any child could crave out of a parent. Time, travel, his siblings. You know, I didn't have siblings for me. I had siblings for them, for each other. And I tried so hard to just develop this amazing family. And nobody ever questioned if it was an amazing family. They all knew we had the most amazing family, and I had doting children. It takes CPS 3 years to keep me away, to destroy that, just demolish it. Just, I am no longer that mom that they adored, because somehow they have convinced my children that there is something wrong with me. I still, when I accidentally met, I mean, bumped into him at the airport, and the officers that were called in to assess the situation obviously said I had not violated anything, but Virginia, human in the midst of human trafficking, tried to get me arrested, and they kept coming to me, LAPD or LA airport, LAX police officers asking me, what did you do? What's wrong with you? Why are your children so worried for you? I said, put them in a 5150. There is nothing wrong with me. If they believe that, there's something wrong with them. They're, of course, you know, it's a legal process. But if your child is convinced that there's something wrong with you, when there's nothing wrong with you, besides the trauma they're putting us through, I don't even know what they believe is wrong with me. I still have never had that conversation.
Yeah, that's a shared persecutory delusion that has been instilled into their minds to fear and hate the loved parent. And that's and child Marianne, psychological abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to tell you that, like, DCFS, so in kind of like in the 80s, They use the psychological diagnosis of that Munchausen by proxy. And they actually used that on Beda Kowalski when they took her child away from her. But now I've been talking to more and more women, and every woman that I've been talking to in the past 6 months has been diagnosed with delusional disorder from DCFS, paid psychologists. So that's kind of the big racket now, is that like once they diagnose you with delusional disorder, you can never get your child back, like never. And so I cannot tell you how many people I've met. And delusional disorder, it's 0.02%. So 99.98% of the United States does not have delusional disorder. And yet I've met six people in the last 6 months who've been diagnosed by that by DCFS psychologists. And so you can't tell me that's coincidence. That is clear and convincing fraud. They have a playbook that they use, and they say, okay, what's the number one way we can get these children away from their parents and they never see them again? Oh, diagnose them with the delusional disorder. They'll never see. So it's, I mean, there's just the fraud is very rampant. They must literally go to the, like, I don't know if they contact each other or go to workshops, national workshops, but their playbook for every state is exactly the same. And
It is. It's
that cannot
insane.
be coincidence. That is not
No,
coincidence.
I was tipped off at one point by an anonymous person that told me that they conduct confidential list serves. So they have confidential list serves where they literally communicate amongst each other in a very like a community, like what you're saying, Gina, like literally
Like
communicate
what
and
worked?
what works.
Let's.
Yes, what works. Yeah,
And you say
confidential
things
list
such
serve.
as you show up to court and they lock you out and they're all in there, but they're acting like you're in there when you're not, and you can't give an objection, you can't do anything, you're outside, you're traumatized. Court reporters changing the actual transcript to say something it's not supposed to, and then you tell a therapist they did that. Then you're delusional because you're actually saying they're corrupt, and that's how it starts.
And that's
When we have all the
projection.
evidence, when we have transcripts, when we can show that they are literally, I have the audio, I can play it. You changed the exact names, the exact transcript. Oh, we make mistakes. Ma'am, this was intentional. This is not a mistake. This is a complete sentence to remove my child forever that is completely changed. And they don't apologize. They don't change anything. Yet you keep fighting them, and somehow you're going to end up with one of those diagnoses.
Oh,
So,
yeah. We've had cases like in Illinois just last week. We had a guy, his name is also James from Kentucky, and he had an Illinois child support case in Illinois, and he had fired his attorney before the trial. And his attorney still went in there and accepted the order even after he emailed her, and she had the email, and she still accepted and signed the orders because they're all working together in cahoots. They don't care. That's why they take breaks during court. They take breaks so they could go back in the chamber and make a little, hey, this is what we're going to do. They already know what's going to happen.
absolutely.
They tell you you're going to trial, but it's not a trial because the trial is already determined.
They don't even take breaks sometimes. If you're on Zoom with them, somehow their hub always goes down. Like our hub hasn't gone down at all. I can show you tape recorded court trials that their hub continuously goes down, and you can see the judge's mouth moving under her mask, having ex parte with the opposing side.
Well, it's a conflict of interest already, because they all have bar cards and they're all lawyers, a part of the Arkansas bar or whatever state, they're a part of. They're all part of the same group. It's crazy.
Well,
And you have to
let me.
understand, oh, I'm
I'm
sorry,
sorry,
that
go.
this is actually the children that are suffering the most. They have no idea why this is happening, and they don't know who to blame. And yet you look at the statistics on what the product they're producing, and it is atrocity after atrocity. Just in CPS, I mean, Kelly and I have done the data. 80% in and out of prison. The majority of death row is former foster youth. 70% of missing children came from foster care. 80%, 60 to 80, we think it's 80. The front lines tell us it's 80 of child sex trafficking came from foster care. What was the fatalities in foster care? Like 42%
Yes,
fatalities rather than
42%. but they weren't quite sure the numbers because they're not being in their autopsies. The autopsy death determination is not actually accurate.
It's always undetermined when there's
undetermined
a homicide. The medical examiner does not want to actually put down homicide. So it leaves it undetermined so that he can be protected. But so it's more than 42% of fatalities happen in foster care rather than in the general population. So children are safer at home with their loving parents.
Right.
And absolutely.
You know, and this is why Kelly and I have talked, and there should just be the abolishment of family court, and CPS isn't doing their job. So
no.
Abolish them and get rid of this foster care because they're just destroying families. Do you see this happening, B, in the future, that there's some hope?
Well, we're able to push back, and people are starting to see, even, what was it, Colorado today or yesterday, actually said they're going to reevaluate how they're actually, their child welfare system, because they are doing more harm than they are doing good.
But Congress shut us down.
The congressional hearings last year were able to prove that hands down. And in 40 years of this going on, no one's been able to have those congressional hearings. I think all our legwork, all our continuously meeting after meeting, I mean, it's coming from all directions. There's a lot of groups up there now. I think if we keep on, yes, I think, Marianne, you're doing an amazing job with this podcast. The more we continue, the more there will be change. Absolutely.
Well, I thank you all for coming on and discussing and informing the public and the taxpayer of what's really going on in your lives and where the money's really going. And I'd like to have y'all come back on again. Is there anything, any closing comments anyone would like to make?
Oh, yes. So we all talked about this today. We're going to try to get some signs made up where they're like the fold up kind, not the billboard kind, where you can actually keep them in your purse. And if you're in family court or your CPS is coming at you, you're rallying, you all can take out your little cloth signs where, basically says incentivizing children, stop separating families. And you can find them at AmericaHatesFamilies.com. Hopefully we can raise enough money to make awareness on this situation, and we can all stick together, flashing our signs to build this awareness to this situation. I don't know, Kelly, can you clarify what I'm trying to say? I don't know if it sounded right.
Okay. I can't hear you.
Oh, you said good. You said good. You did great. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Loved it.
And I would just like to tell parents that if CPS does come to your house, the minute they show up on your door, you are a victim and your constitutional rights are being violated. What parents need to know is you do not need to let CPS in your house. You do not need to sign anything. If you do hire a lawyer, your lawyer is so over caseloaded, he can only donate maybe a tenth of his time to your case. So what you're going to have to be is you're going to have to be your own advocate. No, none of us wanted to be in this situation, but you're going to have to read the law. You're going to have to read your child's law. You cannot depend on anyone to help you or your family. Even if you're paying a lawyer, even the best paid lawyers they're way overworked. So you have to know the law, and then you have to ask your lawyer questions. Well, what about this? And what about this? And the thing about it is DCFS follows a playbook. And if you go and you look at your state laws and you see that playbook, you know how they're going to trap you into that. And so you need to know the laws, and you need to know the playbook, and you need to know what they're going to do, because they're going to try to outsmart you. But if you know the laws and you know your rights as a citizen, you can outsmart them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And last thing I got to say is, everybody keep fighting, file the federal lawsuits. I know they're getting dismissed because of Rooker Feldman and all these other things that shouldn't even matter, but right. We just got to keep fighting. And if you, like Gina says, if you hire an attorney, just you need a civil rights or a constitutional scholar with you to help guide you through court, because it's not fair and the attorney is not on your side.
No, they're working in tandem with the judge and the opposing attorney, just so everybody knows.
Touché.
Yeah. So, hey, everybody, don't jump off. Slam the Gavels, a podcast to help the public understand what really goes on in these family courtrooms. I'm your host, Marianne Petry, author of Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough, Cry Out for Justice, Poems of Truth, and Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple iTunes, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, and other platforms I don't know about, and feel free to buy me a coffee to help keep this podcast going. And if anyone wants to make any comments, they're welcome to contact me at dismantlingfamilycourtcorruption.com if they have any questions for my guests. Thank you all so very, very much.
Thank you so much, Marianne.
Yeah.